Hey everyone, it's Dave Kim, recovering from Mopop Festival 2018. Seriously, my feet are aching and my Chuck Taylors are so dirty. But I had such a great time and got to see so many incredible bands. One of my favorite performances was from Shortly, who's actually from Southgate, which is nice because I have family that live downriver, so we kind of bonded over that. I had a chance to chat with her for Ferndale Radio, and she is so nice. She signed to Triple Crown Records back in November and is working on her debut album, which I am definitely looking forward to. I really enjoyed our conversation, so I hope you do as well. For all of our Mopop Festival coverage, head to FerndaleRadio.com.
Am I a piece of who you are now? Do you carry me around? Do you cast me out like I do to you?
Yeah, I mean, my
I don't recognize
mom loves Black Rock now. Yeah. And I'm like, this was not. I can't even imagine Black Rock here 10 years ago. So, as someone that lives downriver for so long, does that make you happy? Or is it like, what are they doing to our quaint neighborhood?
To downrivers?
Yeah, like all the developments going on in retail. And
I think it's good. New York Times recently described, they were talking about somebody else, and then they were like, oh, this person's from downriver, and then in that article they referred to downriver as a suburban industrial wasteland.
Oh, that's
yes.
A little harsh.
So that was harsh.
Very harsh.
But, you know, and then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, okay, I see it. You know, like, we have a trash hill, and then we turn it into a golf course. I get it. Like, it's fine. And then we build a country club on it. Yeah, so I was like, I get it. It's fine. Trenton's beautiful, like downtown Trenton, and then there's like the stacks. So it's its own thing.
Yeah. The Wyandotte's got a lot going on. They have a Bobcat Mines.
You know, there's a lot of middle. Oh my gosh. I used to, when I was like 13 or 14, I was like, please, mom, let me walk to Biddle Avenue and just go get like sushi or something. Yeah. I don't really mind the development so much. I think that if they're going to happen anywhere, that's probably the place for them to happen right now. I wish that it would stretch further north before Detroit, like into, not Dearborn area, but like
Lincoln Park.
Dearborn Heights, Lincoln Park, Allen Park, Ecorse, Inkster. Those different areas I think could use some TLC.
I mean, it's kind of like we're in Detroit, where like Midtown, Downtown, Corktown, all this.
Yeah, that everywhere the M1 rail touches, and then there's the rest of it, right?
Like, so outlying neighborhoods, and like, so my uncle has a store in like Old East English Village neighborhood, beautiful homes, and just haven't been kept up. And it's like, well, where's all the development for this neighborhood? Some of it's happening, but like, I feel like people shouldn't just dismiss gentrification claims, because it is a real concern.
Oh, gentrification is really super intense.
Yeah.
I even, since I've been going to school at Wayne State University, it's my fifth year now, and I'm taking this upcoming semester off to tour, and I'm going to finish up my degree in the winter semester. So for the last 2 or 3 years, I was living in Midtown Detroit, and I just moved to Lafayette Park, Detroit, actually.
Oh,
just
nice.
A little bit east of here. And it's really intense because my rent was, I think, $750 a month, which is nothing. It was, like, dirt cheap. Beginning of 2016 was the rent, and split it in half with my boyfriend, and then we moved. I'm like, okay, we want to move to a bigger place, right? Because we had, like, one bedroom. And we're looking at the beginning of this year, and everything was like $1,300. I was like, what the heck? So we ended up moving here because the rent was equivalent, and it was like 1,200 square feet rather than like, it's insane how much Midtown is doing that. So even like, I'm white. I'm not disenfranchised at all. I have student loans. I've got all of these things.
Yeah.
And I was kind of pushed out of the neighborhood, and they put my apartment back up after I left for $1,200.
Wow.
It's like almost doubling rent. So, yeah, it's real. Even in the gentrified areas, it's becoming even. It's even more sectioned. I was like, there's like a surf shop. Like, nobody here surfs. Why are you?
Right. How about an Aldi or some other grocery store?
Oh my gosh.
Instead of just Whole Foods.
Whole Foods is so expensive.
Yeah.
If you shop the 365 brand, see, that's an excuse. Right, so like if I would like to get another Meijer.
Yeah.
Maybe a Kroger. Like anything else closer. I feel right. like I shouldn't have to drive 25 minutes away to go to an affordable grocery store.
Yeah.
And people say like, oh, there's a Meijer in Detroit. There's two Meijers in Detroit. Okay, but you can fit three Manhattan Islands in the city of Detroit. So
right.
a Meijer or two isn't mm-hmm. enough.
I have friends that live at Riverfront Tower, and they have to drive to Lincoln Park.
I drive to the Hill. And I either drive that way, or it's the same distance for me to drive to Trader Joe's to do that. So it's like, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that needs to happen there. And I heard that Lafayette Park is actually going to be that place that's under development. They're going to put in a Meijer. They're going to put in stuff like that, which is good. But I hope that reaches out to the other neighborhoods as well. Because, again, it's like... No, it's Lafayette Park is just east of downtown,
right.
So that's not surprising. It's between the riverfront and so what's going to happen to West Village? What's going to happen to Northern
Hamtramck
area? I want it to reach there. I did a lot of volunteer work out there. I have to say out there even.
Right.
I did a lot of volunteer work there in my honors classes and just like building urban farms and things like that. So things like that really do help those communities and that part of our community because Detroit's so agriculturally prominent.
Yeah.
So like building urban farms, building like city gardens, community gardens, working in art projects, as soon as you have an art, kind of like the Heidelberg project that kind of destroyed a whole neighborhood because it just turned it into like art, but now people go and see it, so now it's heavily patrolled. So now that neighborhood is safe.
Right.
And now, because there are cops that patrol the neighborhood to preserve the artwork, and now because those policemen are there patrolling the neighborhood, there's adequate snow removal, there's adequate trash removal. So these city services are spreading in one way, shape, or form. So I'm just excited to see in 10 years. Obviously, this area is going to be bigger, but I hope that the whole city is touched on.
Yeah, that the inequality gap isn't as bad.
I'm really hoping that it doesn't get to the point where I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sorry to go off on this.
Oh, no, I do it all the time.
Social service and all that stuff, but like, so your music, that's why we're here.
It matters.
Yeah, it does matter. So, you are going to Wayne State. And you're trying to balance student life and music life.
Yes.
How has that been going? Now, obviously, you said you're going to take a semester off.
So this is the first semester I'll be taking off for music. So balancing school life and music life and work life has been a new battle. I always have had like 6 or 7 things going on at once, so it's really just a lot of task management and setting your priorities. But it's also kind of about keeping them separate because I do work in such different fields. Like, I'm in school for graphic design, and then I work in a health sciences department, and then I play music and like monkey. So a lot of it's like routing around that. Like, okay, I would put in more hours earlier in the week so that I can take my Fridays off so I can do weekend gigs.
Yeah.
Or kind of arranging with my band to be like, hey, I have a school break on this time and on this time, and I do that with Nate as well. I'm like, he's like, here's your school breaks. Like, he knows them before I do, so he's like, that's when you're available for tours, like stuff like that.
The sign of a good manager.
Try.
He does a good job. Look at his shirt.
Larry. No doctor. Listen, Larry.
But like, even that, some of that kind of, I would imagine, bleeds over. Like, if going for graphic design, are you making your own merch? Or
I do. I make
your
my
own art cover.
Yeah, I've made everything.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Just about, I think I've made everything so far.
But you're the essence of a DIY artist. Like,
Literally, I'm an artist. And my first merchandise designs were actually, like, I would go to thrift stores and buy flannels and then buy, like, plain shirts that were kind of ragged that, had stains in them no one's going to buy. Cut them up and, like, painted, made them patches, sewed them on the back of flannels, sold them as my merchandise, painted little canvases, sold them as merchandise, made my own business cards, got them printed, printed them myself because I'm a graphic design print student, and then cut them up.
This should be a documentary.
Doing that stuff myself. So it definitely does bleed over. It's super useful. And then same with, like, the health aspect of things. My work is very aware of everything. They're super stoked on it. Like, my boss was like, I wore a Joy Division t-shirt to work once, and she was like, So, like, yeah, so that was when I was like, okay, this is, okay, we vibe. So
we're
so
gonna, like, share a Lepre and Curtis here.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, we just talk about New Order and, like, yeah, stuff like that. And so she loves music, and it's a health sciences department. So she's like, you know, yesterday she emailed me Thursday night, and she said, don't come into work tomorrow, you need to get rest for this festival.
Like a mom.
So, yeah, so it all bleeds over. And she's like, if you want to get hours in, you can do this kind of thing from all of a sudden.
Yeah. So is MoPop your first big festival experience?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah.
How did that, because, I mean, clearly a lot of your songs are personal. So it's one thing to play it in a place with 50 people, but now you're here where thousands of people will show up. Does that change the dynamic of how these, of how you interpret these songs for people?
How I interpret them?
Or how you, well, I guess how play you perform them.
So I think for me, not all it did, but the major thing that it did is change it from me playing solo or duo to playing in a full band.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many people and there's obviously going to be talking.
Does it make you more vulnerable though, since the crowd is a lot bigger?
I think that the larger the crowd is, the less nervous I am, because I don't see so many faces. I see a body.
Gotcha.
It becomes me and the audience, rather than me and these 15 people,
right,
who I, you know individually. So that's different. But it is, in this specific festival, it's been strange because there are people that I've known for my entire life that are here, people that I haven't talked to in years that are here, people that didn't even know that I started playing music that are here, or don't know any of these things. Maybe people that are involved in the stories of these songs could be here. So
right.
Stuff like that is like, this show specifically was a very big, just kind of a candid, it was a candid experience, because it was less of me ripping my heart open, showing it to strangers, and more like me ripping my heart open to people I know. It's like, it's always easier to talk to like a therapist about something than it is to talk to like your mom about the things she did wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like stuff like that. I think that was the main thing for me emotionally. Not as scared, but more, there's kind of more of an air of caution, and then kind of a kind of confidence I had to build around that I hadn't had to do before.
If I recall correctly from what you were saying on stage, do you see a therapist or a doctor for anything?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been doing that? Did you do that once you started performing?
No, I've been doing that for months. I think everybody should, yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's helped you with, as your success has been growing?
As a musician?
Yeah.
Yes. I think that every artist, I think that everyone should see a counselor.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think you have issues, I think you should talk about it. I've been seeing one. I think everyone in my family probably sees one, even when they're doing well. Just something to make sure that you're still trying to grow as a human being.
Right.
But as an artist, even as a musician, yeah, but just as an artist in general, I think that you should, because you just, it's so easy to fall into the trap of doubting yourself, and it's really easy to fall into that spiral and not let it become creative energy. So having something to just kind of like routinely keep you in check, like, no, you're doing this is a sign of a good thing. It's like, okay, that's good.
Do you feel as your exposure grows that you will become more of an advocate for mental health awareness? Because, I mean, there are people that, you know, you wouldn't expect have problems. Turns out there's a headline that they had problems.
Yeah.
And that it seems like in 2018, it's still such a huge dilemma.
I have always been an advocate, and so I will continue to be that advocate. And as my platform grows, my voice will grow, but my voice has been loud from the beginning. So.
Yeah. So you signed with Triple Crown back in November, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the status of a full-length record?
I can't talk.
Oh, denied.
But I can say that we've recorded material and it's going to be out soon.
Okay. This year?
What?
This year?
I think it's safe to say, yeah.
Okay.
Last November, December actually, my friend Austin and I went to Philly with Joe Reinhardt at Headroom Studios and fleshed out a lot of the songs. So we've got material. It's there, so don't worry. You'll hear it soon.
Does your approach change now that you are on a label?
No. I mean, I'm more like, I've learned how to be a businesswoman. I have an LLC now, so I collect my receipts.
That's awesome. Here's my expense report, me.
Yes, actually. I'm learning how to be an adult about it. Never had to do that in other bands because I never made enough money for it, the taxes to really matter. But now I have to make sure that I'm not going to be hunted down by the IRS.
Right.
I also want to make sure that everything is fair. I want to understand my rights, you know, so I'm reading all these books on, like, music practices and, like, everything you need to know about the publishing side of the music industry because that's so not talked about. Just stuff like that. So my approach is kind of, it's strategic, it's kind of like chess, but the heart of the project is still the most important thing to me. So it's kind of, just kind of broaden my senses and my awareness to what the business side of it is.
Yeah.
Kind of taking this artistic big project thing and kind of trying to fight back and forth circles and squares and turn it into something that's sustainable.
And Fred's just your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
You know, you just got somebody else in your corner.
Yeah, I have my Fred Feldman, Triple Count, is like the best.
Mm-hmm.
He is in my corner for sure. So I have that.
It's very encouraging to hear you say that about the business aspect. I remember seeing Duff McKagan speak at South by Southwest a few years ago, and he said, when we were at our peak of GNR, we should have seen ourselves as four CEOs of a brand.
Yeah.
And he did it, and that was a mistake.
Yeah.
But then I know there are artists who sometimes don't like that word brand or managing your brand because it kind of takes away from the authenticity. Are you?
I'm a graphic designer.
Yeah.
I know everything, not everything about brand, but I know that it's important.
Yeah.
You have to develop your brand. Your brand is your image. Your brand is your voice. People are going to see your brand before they see you. People are going to, like, my name is Shortly, and that already says something about me.
Yeah.
It's kind of quirky. It's weird. You know, so, or it's cool and ominous. It's a one-word thing. So it's like, already it's like, oh, she's an emo artist, girl. She's an indie artist. You know, it's, but what, you know, there's no sense in not developing that. Solidifying your image, solidifying just kind of your voice and shaping it around yourself. Like, you can't ignore that. It's just legs up the table that is your project. So it's, for me, it's, I'm Alex, and I'm developing Shortly around Alex, and it's very much an art project. It's my music that I'm focusing on, and Shortly is different from the music I did when I was an independent artist, in the fact that it's more personal. It's not vulnerable, I wouldn't say, but it is candid.
Yeah.
And a lot of the brand is focused around, like, that idea of things being candid. So the moment I stop looking at that, the moment Shortly isn't Shortly anymore. It's trying to be something else. It's very important to me.
I don't want to put labels on anything, but it's nice to see this, I guess, maybe not next wave, but this new collective of us. Female artists like you, Julian Baker, who I just got into recently, Phoebe Bridgers, which I think you went on the road with her, and a few other artists. And of course, with, you can't ignore what's going on with the whole Me Too movement and everything there. Are you noticing any misogyny or any kind of sexism? Is that with the, I know you're young, but is that kind of getting away from hopefully the business, or is that still something that's
prominent? Oh, it's there.
It's there. Okay.
Yeah.
Of course.
It will always be there. It's always interesting. People tend to bring up Julian and Phoebe a lot. Julian is friends with a lot of my friends.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, one of the first things I did as Shortly in 2016 was cover a Julian Baker song, and it just so happened the very first show I played as Shortly, somebody there is, oh, she's my best friend. And so they, like, recorded it and sent it to her. And,
oh, that's,
like,
awesome.
Yeah, and then, like, somebody else sent it to her, like, the day beforehand.
Yeah.
Me, like, rehearsing it. And so she's got, like, all these videos on her phone of me playing. So we're very aware of each other. We were going to hang out. Now that friend is a friend of mine.
So good.
And she's supposed to, like, she was going to see Bud Light and stuff. So, like, we're very
Bud Light.
Connected. And Phoebe is, like,
I just want a Bud Light.
She's
big
such
one.
A badass. So I love when people talk about Phoebe, too. And I'm such a big fangirl of Phoebe. Like, she is so cool. I love her so much, and but they're both so strong, and they're very strong voiced, and they're very independent on that, regardless of the way. Not regardless of anything. It's just I love it when people talk about them. Even though sonically I don't think we have really much in common, but I think morally we really do. And yeah, I just played with Phoebe recently in March. And that was super exciting. Her new album was, like, my go-to. Like, I can go to sleep to that album, or I can get, like, pumped to that album. I listen to the album in the bath. Like, that's the record, you know? I'm like, I quote, like, my Instagram photos with, like, Would You Rather's lyrics or, like, whatever. Like, Phoebe's just, her lyrics are great. You know, her covers are, like, you would think that they're her own songs. And Julian's voice is just, like, pierces you.
I remember, just saw them at the Nationals Homecoming Festival.
Yeah.
She was there, and literally there were grown men crying.
Yeah, no, it happens. It's intense and it's inspirational, and I actually, so in the beginning of 2016, or middle of 2016, since she was friends of friends, she shared a show at Calvin College with my friend Luke, who's in Vagabonds, and it was just the two of them, and we, I had the opportunity to ask her, so I was like, all right, Julian, what am I going to do? So I went up to her actually specifically afterwards. I went up to her and I was like, okay, people are booking me on these shows and I'm not sure if it's because I'm a woman or because I'm gay. And I was like, what do I do? Because this has happened to you and I know it has. She's like, she was just like kind of dumbfounded. She's like, well, just play the show and show them why they should book women. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's that simple. Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, misogyny is there. Couple years back, I was like playing keyboards in a band, and I went to go put my keyboard on stage. I was grabbing my credentials or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, we don't give wristbands to girlfriends." I was like, "Fuck!" And you know, luckily they're backing me up. They're like, "She's a keyboardist, and she's a damn good one, so give her a wristband." It's there. I mean, even just I read She Shreds a lot, and one of my favorite things is they just like posted this article in Fender that a study and like 50% of like the guitar sales have been from women in the last like couple years. It's just, but yeah, and stuff like, I can't remember the exact controversy that happened recently, but I don't know. There was a pedal that came out recently called like, the Pussy Melter, and it was like, it was supposed to be like a joke, but it was just like janitors are gonna have to stay late to like, like just like this really gross thing.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, that stuff is still there, especially in the beer community. I think that it's a little bit more, that's even more segregated.
Yeah.
It's like that, because it's like, you know, I come on stage with my M9 Stompbox. People are like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, you have a thing. And I'm like, it's literally like a toddler's toy. You know, so yeah, it's there. But I think less people are starting to tell me that I'm brave, and less people are trying to message me and say that I'm sleeping my way up, which is good too. But less people are coming up to me and saying, hey, I think that it's cool that you're on stage and you're a woman. That's good that less people are doing that, because it means that it's becoming more normal.
Yeah.
We can skip that part and go straight to the music.
Right, right.
That song is good.
And, I mean, you are inspiring the next generation of, hopefully, female artists that will be listening to 10, 20 years down the line.
I really hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But thank you so much. This has been great, and it's even more awesome because you're a Detroiter.
I am a Detroiter. I'm here.
So I can't wait to hear the new record. Thank you.